seated. Hope y'all had a great night's sleep. You know, I love coming to a retreat that's like a motel, don't you? I love it that there aren't bunk beds, that we didn't need to bring sleeping bags. Yeah, my husband always says that, you know, Carol's idea of camping out is when room service is late. So, yeah, I like retreats like this. Well, I can't wait to just dig into the Word of God with you this morning. My spirit is jumping up and down at what God's going to say and what He's going to do. And, you know, I know this is the first time you've ever heard me teach. And so I just want to tell you is that I love digging for gold in the Word of God. I love going deep. So some of you are going to leave here with a headache today. Some of you are going to look at each other and say, do you know what she's talking about? But listen, I just believe that the principles in the Word of God are what we need to empower us in our faith. Like I said to you last night, I don't have a better idea than God. I don't know if you do or not, but I don't. And so we're going to use the principles in the Word to give us boundaries in our lives and to help us on our journey. So that's what we're going to do this morning. Well, when Debbie told me that the theme of the retreat was sure-footed, I just loved that theme. And you know, this scripture verse that's on all of your name tags, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times, Isaiah 33:6. It's actually one of my personal verses. And I know the Holy Spirit let me share it with you all, but it's a verse that I have held as a treasure. You know, for those of you who are moms, you realize that your kids grow up and leave you. The nerve of those kids. They grow up and leave you. And our second child was about to leave for college, 1,500 miles away from home. And our second child was a real easy boy. He was just a love. He was affectionate and played by the rules. And he was a worship leader at our church. And it was really hard letting him go. And I remember the night before he was going to college, I heard him come down the stairs. And every child's feet have their own particular rhythm. And I can still hear Christopher's feet on the stairs that went from the third floor to the second floor. And it was ba-dump, 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 ba-dump. That was the rhythm of his feet on my stairs. And I was sitting in my chair with my Bible open, and I started to sob, as any good mother would, thinking, I'm not going to hear that every day. I'm not going to hear that anymore. Ba-dump, 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 ba-dump. And I was crying out to God, and I said, Lord, I need a word. I'll be okay if you speak to me, but this is really hard. And it's only happened to me one other time in my life, but I felt like I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, Carol, open to Isaiah 33:6. And I read, but the Lord will be the stability of your times and your seasons. And I thought, my kids aren't my stability. But the Lord is my stability. He's the one who makes us sure-footed. Amen? Amen? Amen. So what does it mean to be sure-footed? Because I love words, you do know that about me by now, I looked it up. And Debbie told us the meaning last night. It means unlikely to stumble, slip, or fall. Well, that sounds like a life plan to me. I don't want to stumble, slip, or fall, do you? I want to power walk through life. I want to make sure that every step I take counts for the kingdom of God. I don't want to waste my steps, but I want to use my steps for God and for His kingdom. And so I just want to tell you, it is God's plan for you to be sure-footed in life. You're going to go through valleys. You're going to climb up mountains. You're going to go through deserts. But God's plan is for you to be sure-footed in all those places in life. I spent last week with some of my grandchildren in Oklahoma City, and you gotta know boys. Boys is 4.5 years old. Just give me a little bit of grace here for a minute. And I was playing the question game with boys, and I said, boys, would you rather climb a mountain or go through the desert? And he looked at me and he said, well, would I have water or not? Well, this is the good news. Sisters, you got water for the mountain or for the desert. You got it. So this weekend, what I'm going to do is, in the three sessions that I have, I'm going to share with you three ways to live a sure-footed life. Three ways to ensure that you will not stumble, slip, or fall. And this morning session is called Sure-Footed in Purpose. Because if you know your purpose, if you know God's plan for your life, that's going to keep you on the right pathway. You're not going to stumble, slip, or fall if you know that you know that you know what God's plan is for your personal life. And I'm here to tell each one of you this morning that you were made on purpose, with purpose, and for purpose. You are not a glob of cells thrown randomly into the universe at some unknown moment in time. But your life matters to the kingdom of God. Your life matters very, very much to God. And if during your life, if during your dash, you will relentlessly pursue the plans and purposes of God, you will be sure-footed. You will never stumble or fall. And so, again, I'm going to be braggadocious for a minute. And I'm going to share with you a video that my son Christopher, the one ba-dum-ba-dum made, when he and his wife were expecting their second child. This was their birth announcement. Go ahead, Chris, put it up.
Do you want to have a baby? I think the time is right. We should consider pregnancy, maybe two or three.
Chris called me one day and said, Mom, can you believe that 5,000 people have watched that video? And I said, yes, I can, because I've watched it 2,000 times. I'm the one. I put your numbers up. You know, there's a line in that song from the movie Frozen, for the first time in forever. And every time I hear those words, for the first time in forever, My heart just expands with God's potential and possibility, because you know what? You are God's first time in forever. You are the only one of you that God will ever create in all of eternity past or in all of eternity yet to come. You are the only one. There's nobody like you. There's nobody with your genetic makeup. There's nobody with your fingerprint. There's nobody with the same number of hairs on their head that you have in all of eternity past or in all of eternity yet to come. And forever, God's forever would be incomplete without your personal story. So this morning, let me tell you why you are here in one sentence. I can tell you in one sentence why you are here at this moment in history. You are here for your life to reveal the story of Jesus. That's why you're here. Through the deserts, on the mountaintops, through the valleys, in hard days and good days, with difficult relationships with easy ones, you are here to reveal the story of Jesus. You are here so that Jesus could be here through your life. If you don't reveal him, who will? If you're not kind to difficult people, who will be kind? If you're not good to cruel people, who will be good? If you don't tell the story of Jesus, who will tell the story of Jesus? You know, just a little rabbit trail here. I feel like I'm supposed to say, difficult people. Anybody in the room have a difficult person in their life? You know, some of you need to raise both feet, both arms, you know, put your hair up. We've got so many difficult people in our life. But listen, we've made a mistake with difficult people. We have allowed difficult people to bring out the worst in us. But what if Jesus has put them in your life to bring out the Jesus in you? What if the reason you're crossing paths with that difficult person is so that they experience Jesus through your life? Because that's why you are here. Your story is only as significant as your choice to tell his story with your life. The purpose of your life is to reveal him. So this is what Psalm 139 verses 16 through 18 tell us. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single moment had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. You know, these words from the psalmist David tell us that before you were even born, God had a plan for your life. You are not here by accident or by mistake. You know, I always say there are no illegitimate children. I don't know the relationship with your parents before you were conceived, but I can tell you right now that you are not here by accident, but you are here for the purposes and for the plans of God. And I love Psalm 139. I always go back to it when I'm having a rough day. I always go back to it when I'm wondering, why am I here? Like, what's up with my life? I always go back to it when I'm dealing with insecurities. Anybody in here ever deal with insecurities? Go back to Psalm 139. Yeah, both hands, I saw that. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on your mirror. Put it on your bedside table. Put it on your dashboard. Psalm 139 tells us that God thought about us before we were born. He planned your grand entrance onto planet Earth. The psalmist said, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God. Now this word thoughts is the Hebrew word rea, R-E-A. And it means purpose, aim, or thought. See, God had a purpose for your life. He put your arrow in his sling, and he let it go out at this moment in history. He had an aim for your life. He spent eternity past thinking about you, and the thoughts that he had about your life were precious thoughts to him. They were precious to the creator of the universe. This word precious in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word yakar, and it means to be esteemed, to be valued, to be treasured greatly. So God had a plan for your life, a precious plan, a well-thought-out plan, And it was precious to him. You are more valuable than diamonds or orchids or minks. So valuable are you to the plan of God. So God's plan for your life is not accidental, but it's purposeful, carefully, well thought out plan. God meant your minutes to matter. He meant you to walk sure-footed through life. He meant for every step you take, every decision you make, to be purposeful in his kingdom. You know, when I ponder that, when I ponder Psalm 139, it just brings such joy to my heart to know that my little life is important to God, that what I do matters to God, that he gives me divine appointments every day of my life. You are God's first time in forever. Before you pooped or burped or red, green eggs and ham, God had a plan for your life. And you know what? God has watched your birth announcement thousands upon thousands upon thousands of times. He was so excited about the moment that your life would intersect with time as we know it. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 14. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I'll listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from the nations. Now, Jeremiah 29:11 is one of all of our favorite verses. Isn't that right? For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and calamity. A plan for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And this word plans in the Hebrew is one of my favorite Hebrew words. It's the Hebrew word makashaba. So you're going to leave here smarter today. You're going to leave here knowing some Hebrew and some Greek. So I want you all to say the word makashaba with me. You ready? One, two, three.
Makashaba.
You know Hebrew. You are Hebrew scholars now. But this Hebrew word makashaba means thought, device, plan, intention, purpose, invention. I like that. It means imagination or creative work. So you, my friend, are God's masterpiece. You are God's work of art. God spent time thinking about you and thinking about your life. He contemplated what he would need at this moment in history and what he would need a woman to do at this moment in history. He contemplated the people that he needed you to impact. And he created you. If you're good at science, there's a reason why. If you're good at math, I am not, there's a reason why. You don't want me to balance your checkbooks, okay? You don't want me to be the church treasurer. If you're good at music, there's a reason why. If you love children, there's a reason why. If you love words, there's a reason why. If you love fashion, there's a reason why. If you love interior design, there's a reason why. God has created you at this moment in history. Now, Acts 17:26. And God made from one man, that would be Adam, every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and exist. Now in Acts 17:26, the word that we're going to hunker down on and just chew on is the word determined. And he made from one man, Adam, every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times. God decided when it would be a good fit for you to live in history. You're not here by mistake. God predetermined your appointed time. He thought about it. He thought about how he could use you. And he planned for you to live your adult life at the first part of the 21st century. You weren't born during the Civil War. Other people were born then for their appointed time. You weren't born during the Reformation. Other people were born then. But you were born for now, for today, for the early part of the 21st century. God is strategic in everything that he does. He's a strategic God. And his strategy for your life was to have you alive today, to serve God today. Now, when life walked on the stage of history, my kids, I have five kids, as you know, living on planet Earth, and I homeschooled for 23 years, and I'm still smiling. Y'all can do it. We used to play the question game. I told you a little bit about it. I was playing with boys last week, my grandson. And so one of the questions that we would often ask around the dinner table was, if you could be at any Bible event, what Bible event would you want to be at and why? Now, you know, my boys, they always wanted to be like when the walls of Jericho came falling down, you know? They wanted to be in the lion's den with Daniel. They wanted to watch David take out Goliath with one little stone. My sweet little girls, they always wanted to be at the birth of Jesus, you know? That's where they wanted to be. But for me, I always wanted to be at creation. I always wanted to see the Holy Spirit hovering over the face of the deep. The Holy Spirit just hovering. And I want to hear the voice of God resound, echo through eternity when he said, "Let there be light." I wanted to watch Adam being made from the dust of the earth. And I wanted to hear the roar of the angels as they applauded the crowning achievement that God had made. You see, when life walked onto the stage of history, it was no inconsequential event. And when you walked onto the stage of history, it was no inconsequential event. Your life holds at least as much value as the life of Adam did. And when you came to planet Earth, the angels roared in anticipation of the woman that you would become at this moment in history. God determined your appointed times, and you got today. You got the first part of the 21st century. Now, this verse in Acts that I've just read to you about God determining our appointed times tells us something else about God. That he determined our appointed times and the boundaries of our habitation so that we would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. We are here at this moment in history to grope for God, to find God. But sisters, let me tell you something. One of the ploys of the enemy is to keep us distracted, is to get us groping for all the wrong things when we're on planet Earth. The devil wants us to be more consumed with homes and lands and prestige and how we look and our weight and how our kids behave and all these secondary things. But the primary reason you are here is to grope for God, is to exist for God, is for God to show up in your life so that the world will know who Jesus is. Now, I started to tell you last night about how 3 years ago right now, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And you can imagine, during those days, sisters, I was crying out to God big time. When you get a diagnosis like that, let me tell you, nothing else matters on the face of the planet. You don't care whether the dishes are done or not. You don't care whether your husband takes out the trash or not. You just don't care. All you want is more of Jesus. All you want is for Jesus to invade your circumstances. And during those strategic days in my life, God gave me a scripture that took me out at my knees, that has literally undone me for the last 3 years. And I pray that I am never the same woman again. But the scripture that God gave me was Acts 13:36. And this is what it says for David. Okay, let's stop right there. First of all, this is Acts. This is the New Testament. And the Holy Spirit is still talking about David thousands of years after he lived. Yes, ma'am, I'll take that. How about you?
Amen.
Make such a big impression on the Holy Spirit that he can't stop talking about me for thousands of years. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, then he fell asleep and was laid among his fathers and underwent decay. And I did a little bit of research on this word purpose. For David, when he served the purpose of God, it's the Greek word boule, and it's a great Greek word. Everybody say boule.
Boule.
Now you know Greek. You know Hebrew and you know Greek. You know makashaba and you know boule. You know Greek. And this great Greek word boule means counsel. David served the counsel of God. He served the will of God. He served the thoughts of God. He served the advice of God, the intentions and the reflections of God. This word boule denotes deliberation, that God had deliberated about David's life and David served those purposes. And did you know that the same God who knew David in his mother's womb knew you in your mother's womb? And God has deliberated about your life as well. And he's waiting for you and for me to walk in our boule, to walk in our purpose that God has for us. Now, part of this verse that I love, it says, and David, when he served the purposes of God in his own generation. Remember, God determined your appointed times. We just read that. And now we see that David served the purposes of God in his own generation. You know, I often say that if I had lived before the Reformation, okay, all you teenage girls, see if you can go to world history with me for a minute. If I had lived before the Reformation, I would have been one of those scribes with a quill in my hand, writing out the word of God on parchment. I often have said that if I'd lived during the Pony Express time, I would have gotten somebody to buy me the fastest horse we could find. And I don't even like horses, okay? And I would have been taking the gospel of Jesus Christ across the Rocky Mountains. But that's not when I live. I live today in the first part of the 21st century. So I will use everything that the 21st century offers to tell the story of Jesus. I will use the publishing industry and radio and TV and blogging and the internet and social media to tell the story of Jesus. Listen, let me just coach you for a little bit. For those of you who are on Facebook or Twitter, raise your hand. Okay, I love y'all so much. You love me?
Yeah.
Listen, Facebook is not the place to spout your opinion. Facebook is the place to talk about Jesus. It's the place to tell others about how good he's been to you. Are you kidding? This is free advertising. You know, as an author, I go to all these conventions, and we have learned that 10, 20, 30 years ago, the free PR that we get on Facebook would have cost tens of thousands of dollars. And y'all get it for free. So what are you doing talking about how frustrated you are with your husband, how your boss has mistreated you, how much you hate the government, how ridiculous the media is? What are you doing? You should be telling the story of Jesus because it's why you're here. And listen, don't be weird, okay? Don't be weird about it. Be gentle. Be soft. but tell the story of Jesus, because there are purposes of God for you in your own generation. And God has determined that you should live today. You know, I love reading about characters in the Bible. I love reading about some of the men and women of God who have preceded us in kingdom principles and in the kingdom story. And there is a person in the Old Testament who really struggled with identity. Anybody in here struggle with identity? Who really struggled with purpose. Who really compared himself to the people around him. And he was a young man by the name of Jeremiah when we join him in his story. Jeremiah struggled with God over his call and destiny. And this is what it says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Now the word of God came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. And I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. God spoke to Jeremiah and said, hey, Jerry, I knew you. I had plans for you. Your life is significant to me. Your life is important to me. And let me tell you, sisters, one of the things I prayed for this morning's session is that the same God who spoke to Jeremiah would speak to you today. The same God who had plans for David would speak to you today. So as I continue to teach, if you hear an old dream rekindled, write it down. If you hear something new, write it down. Because you have the same Holy Spirit that Jeremiah had. And I believe that he's speaking to you today. If you hear, maybe it's time for you to go back to school. Or you might hear something like, you know, we really could foster children. My husband and I really could do that. If you hear something like, you know, I really do need to get involved in my kids' schools, write it down. If the Lord lays a former teacher on your heart, if the Lord lays a high school friend on your heart, write it down. Because the Holy Spirit is speaking destiny to you today, just like he spoke destiny to Jeremiah. We serve a God who's still speaking dreams and destiny. You serve a God who can still talk to you. Imagine that. Yeah. He's still talking. And he wants you to listen to his voice and to dream his dreams. God wants to speak to you more than you want to listen. Did you know that? It's the truth. And so the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And I believe the word of the Lord is coming to many of you this morning. So write it down in your notebooks. God has scheduled your life into the history of the world. And he designed you for his appointment. Jeremiah was appointed to be a prophet to the nations. And the same God who knew David in his womb and Jeremiah in his mother's womb knew you in your mom's womb. He had a plan for you, sisters, before you were talking baby talk. God had a plan for you before you took your first wobbling baby steps. And when you talk about being sure-footed, you have to grow up, don't you, to be a sure-footed believer. You have to mature in the things of the Lord if you want to be sure-footed. And you know, I see so much of myself in Jeremiah and so much of Jeremiah in me because Jeremiah started to argue with God. God spoke dreams and vision and destiny to Jeremiah. And he said, you've been born for such a time as this. You've been appointed for purpose. And Jeremiah said, are you sure, God? Because I don't see what you see. I'm not very much of myself. You know, it didn't work for Jeremiah, and it's not going to work for you either. So if you're struggling with destiny today, I want to tell you that the God of Jeremiah wants to use you. He has a plan for your life. Jeremiah 1:6. And then I said, this is Jeremiah talking. Alas, Lord God. Let me just coach you for a minute. Never begin a prayer with the word alas, okay? When you're talking to God, don't ever say, alas, Lord God. You know, he's smarter than that, okay? So don't start your prayers with the word alas. Alas, Lord God, I don't know how to speak because I am a youth. So Jeremiah's excuse was based on who he thought he wasn't. He said, I don't know how to talk. I'm not good at communicating. And in addition to that, I'm just wet behind the ears. Like, I don't have experience. You know, you might be using different excuses than Jeremiah did. You might be saying, I've made too many mistakes. I've been divorced twice. I've had 3 abortions that nobody knows about. I battle depression. I'm in debt, and certainly God can't use a person in debt. I'm too fat. I'm too old. My house is a disaster. I can't foster kids. My house is a disaster. My kids have addictions. God, you can't use me. And the God of Jeremiah is speaking to me today. And he's saying, yes, I can. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I can. Oh, yes, I can use you. Excuses didn't work for Jeremiah, and they're not going to work for you either. Excuses didn't work for Moses, and they're not going to work for you either. Excuses didn't work for Peter, and they're not going to work for you either. Excuses didn't work for Abraham, and they're not going to work for you either. There is no human weakness or past mistake that changes the plan of God for your life. There is no human weakness or past mistake that marks you as unfit for use in the kingdom of God. You can't earn your way into it. You can't buy your way into it. You can't sin your way out of it. God has a plan for your life. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. But the Lord said to me, the Lord nailed Jerry. The Lord said to Jeremiah, don't say it. Don't say I'm a youth. Because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. Don't be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. And so the Lord is speaking to you today, and he's saying, don't say it. Don't say I've been divorced. Don't say I've had abortions. Don't say I'm depressed. Don't say I'm in debt. Don't use the excuses because I'm with you. And I trump. God's presence in your life trumps any past mistake you've made. God's leading of your life trumps anything that's happened in your past. God wants to use you just like he wanted to use David and Jeremiah at their moment in history. You know, our fear issues, God nailed Jeremiah. He said, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. Who's them? What's God talking about in this conversation with Jeremiah? Well, I have an idea. God was talking about all the battles that Jeremiah was going to have to face in his life. Because you see, part of the plan of God for your life is that you're going to have to fight a battle or two. My battles have been infertility. My battle has been depression. And prior to October the 31st, 2014, I didn't know that one of my battles was going to be breast cancer. But God speaks to us today and says, don't be afraid, because I'm with you. Because I am with you, and my presence is enough to overcome any battle that you will face. Jeremiah 1:19. Chris, I'm skipping a couple slides there. Jeremiah 1:19, the Lord said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, they will fight against you, but they will not overcome you. For I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. You know, the presence of the Lord for me is what makes the hard stuff in life meaningful and worthwhile. Just knowing that he's with me. You know, when I was diagnosed with cancer, Susie was talking about that book today, Refined. I had written the book Refined because I was trying to figure out, theologically, why planes fly into buildings, why young men who are 23 years old die. Our daughter Joy, her best friend, married a young man, and 9 months later he was with Jesus, battled cancer. I was trying to figure it out. So when I try to figure something out, I go to the Bible. And so I did a study on the fires in life, on the hard times in life, and God's purpose for the hard times in life. Because God doesn't waste anything. And one of the things I say in that book, Refined, is don't waste your pain. You know, as believers, one of the mistakes that we make is that we waste our pain. That when we go through a hard time, we panic emotionally, you know, and we verbally vomit all over everybody. And, you know, all you can think about is what you're going through. All you can talk about is what you're going through. And it consumes you. But sisters, I want to call you higher. And I want to tell you, don't waste your pain. Don't waste your pain. And so when I was battling cancer, and every doctor's appointment was worse news than the one before, I was determined I'd waste my pain. Let me tell you, I'm not Superwoman, okay? I am not. I'm just a normal woman. But every time I was going to a doctor's appointment, I'd say, Jesus, who do you want me to sit beside? Jesus, is there a technician here that needs you today? Jesus, is there a single mom who's a nurse who could just use a touch from you? Because I was determined not to go into these doctor's offices and be in my turtle shell of pain. But I just said, Lord, there's no other reason for me to be here than that you've got divine appointments for me. Then you have assignments for me. Why am I spending Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year and Valentine's Day and Easter and the 4th of July in oncologist's office and in doctor's offices and in testing rooms? Well, Jesus, there's only one possible reason. It's because somebody here needs you. And so, Jesus, I'm in. I am all the way in. So don't waste your pain. The same God who said to Jeremiah, listen, there's going to be battles that you're going to fight. But never forget that I am with you. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Susie, I can't open my phone. I need to know what time it is. What time is it?
11:33.
Great, 11:33. We have about 15 more minutes. Great. So, are you ready for some more Greek? You ready? All right. There are some schemes that have been birthed against your life. Did you know that? Because we do have an enemy. And just like the Lord has plans for welfare and not for calamity for you, to give you a future and a hope, just like God has determined the boundaries of your habitation, just like God has thought about your life before you were born, there is the bad guy. Okay? There is the enemy, and he has schemed about your life. This word schemed is the Greek word methodia, and it means an orderly plan. The devil has thought about your life and thought about how he could get to you. This word methodia means cunning. It means trickery. It means deceit. His purpose, I'm going to tell you right now, just like God's purpose for your life is for you to reveal Jesus through your life. Every day, cancer days and wonderful days. God's plan for your life is for you to reveal Jesus. The enemy's plan for your life is to take God's glory away from you. The enemy's plan for your life is for you to be so consumed in your emotions, so consumed in your preferences, so consumed in your opinions, that you don't have time to share Jesus with a world in pain. That's what the enemy wants to do with your beautiful masterpiece of a life. The enemy wants to distract you. God's purpose is to give you a hope and a future. The enemy has calamity. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy your joy. Remember last night? The enemy wants to take your joy away from you. Now, this is what I believe, and I believe I've come to this theology through years of study, reading the Word of God, reading the books of theologians, listening to sermons, praying through it. And we all need to figure hard stuff out, don't we? We all need to figure out the purpose of hard stuff. And this is what I believe. The enemy's scheme is for you to live and breathe and have your being apart from Jesus Christ. The enemy's scheme is to have you grope for all the wrong things during your dash. That's what the enemy wants to do. The enemy's scheme for your life is for you to panic when you're climbing a mountain. For you to panic when you're in the desert. But God wants you to know that He's always with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll give you strength to fight the battle you're in. That's what the Father wants you to know. The Father wants you to be available to reveal Jesus through your life. This is what I believe. Not one single thing comes into your life that does not have some bearing on God's purpose for you in your own generation. You were totally loved in your mother's womb, totally planned for, totally cared about. God had a plan for you, and the plan is now. And then somebody else has a plan for you. He schemed about your life. God has created you as a masterpiece, and the enemy has created you for calamity and for emptiness. But you, my friend, are here to give God glory this side of heaven. You know, I was on a radio show one time right after 9/11. And they were asking me about why do planes fly into buildings? Yeah, try to answer that question in 30 seconds or less, right? And you know, what I said was, there is a perfect place. And it's called heaven. And I'm going there someday. Are you? Mm-hmm. But right now we live in the war zone. We live in the fallen world. But God's purpose for you in the fallen world is to bring glory to His name every day of your life in every single situation. Now, I have to tell you something about me. I don't spend much time in the kitchen. You know, I used to hate the Proverbs 31 woman. Like, who is she? You know, Miss America and Mother Teresa and Hillary Clinton on steroids. Like, who is she? Everything she does, you know, she rules the world. Until one day I was reading my Bible, and this is what it says in Proverbs 31. She brings her food from afar. Yes, I am her. I am the Proverbs 31 woman. Because, you know, pizza, Chinese, you know, I bring my food from afar. It's what I do. My point is I don't spend a lot of time in the kitchen. So I'm not telling you the story from personal experience, okay? But I would observe my grandmother making a from scratch chocolate cake. I can barely say the words from scratch. They're so foreign to me. They're almost profanity to me because I just don't do it, okay? And what does it take to bake a chocolate cake from scratch? Flour, lard, Crisco, baking soda. Have you ever taken a tablespoon of baking soda? It can kill you. Raw eggs. And cocoa. Who knew that chocolate could taste bad? Cocoa. In those cans, you know? But when you take all those things and mix it together and turn up the heat, you get a masterpiece. You get something so delicious, you can eat the whole thing. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and to those who are called according to His purpose. Sisters, God has been to your future, and it is good. Because He is there. Your future is good. Nothing gets to touch your life that is without God's keeping His plans for your life in your generation. Luke 22, verses 41 and 42. I'm going to start drawing it together now for you. And Jesus withdrew from them. That would be the disciples, the three that He loved, about a stone's throw. And He knelt down. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And He began to pray, saying, Father, if You're willing, remove this cup from Me. Yet not My will, but Yours be done. This word willing in Luke 22 comes from the same root word that boule comes from in Acts 13:36. And David, when he served the boule of God in his own generation, and Jesus said, Father, if You are willing, if it is Your plan, Father, if there's any way I don't have to go through this, Father, in Your creative ability, in Your strategy, in Your divine plan for my life, if there's any way we can get the job done without me going through this, Father, would You let that happen? And the Father said, Son, there is no way. You have to go through this. For My purposes to be accomplished in your life, Jesus, my boy, my beloved, you gotta do it. You gotta do it. God loved Jesus, His Son, and yet still allowed Him to go through the cross. Why? Because God the Father loved you. That's why He allowed Jesus to go through the cross. And if He allows you to go through any pain, it's because He loves the world you're in. And He wants to use you. Why did I have to go through cancer? Well, because there was a single mom who was my radiologist one day, who had a son with autism, who's now going to go to heaven because I had to have a horrible procedure done. And now she's going to go to heaven. Was the purpose worth the pain? You bet it was. You bet it was, sister. I would do it again for that one single mom who had to do a horrible test on me. I would do it again. You know, what we view horizontally as horrible, from heaven's perspective, may be wonderful. The plans and the purposes of God. Heaven sees it as an opportunity for a miracle, for the goodness of God to overcome evil. My favorite Old Testament character is Joseph. You know, the one who was beat up by his brothers and put in the pit and sold into slavery. And years later, when he reconnected with his brothers after the famine, and how Joseph fed them. And in Genesis 50:20, Joseph looked at his brothers and he said, hey, guys, let me tell you something. You might have meant it for evil, but God used it for good. You know, that word used, or most translations say meant it, but God meant it for good. Do you know what word that is? It's your new favorite Hebrew. It's makashava. Makashava. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans, the makashava I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for calamity. Joseph said, hey guys, it's okay. It's okay, I forgive you, but I just want to point out to you that you had evil against me, but God makashabed it for good. And sisters, God can do that in your life. Any scheme or plan that the enemy has against you, God can makashabed it for good. And you are here to reveal the glory of good. I would rather go through pain and let God use it for His purpose than for a generation to go to hell. I just would. I really would. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Chris, I'm skipping ahead again, but this is going to be our last verse for this morning. Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So we're His workmanship. This depicts that God, when He created you, He put forth His fullest creative abilities to his magnum opus. You are the crowning achievement of everything that God made. So don't let the enemy tell you you're not. So don't waste your life in emotional drivel. Don't waste your life, but go forward in the plans and purposes of God. You are his workmanship. You know, I'd love to make the Bible come to life. Here we go, Chris. We're going to have some fun here. So I just imagine, you know, I told you I wanted to be a creation, right? So I played this story in my brain a lot of times. And this is what I picture. Jesus the Son was hanging out with his dad during creation. And the Father said, "Hey, Son, look what I can do." And God the Father flung his hand, and there was the Grand Canyon. Oh, my goodness. How incredible is that? And Jesus the Son might have respectfully responded, "Come on, Dad. Is that the best you can do?" To which the Father said, "Well, how about this?" And he threw out the glaciers of Alaska. Oh, my goodness. The Son said, "Dad, that's pretty good. But, Dad, I think you can do better than that." And the Father thought for a minute, and he said, "Son, you're right. I can do better than that." And God said, "Let there be fjords." And the fjords of Norway came into existence. And Jesus might have said, "Dad, that's impressive. You are really good at what you do. But come on now, you're God. You must have something else up your miraculous sleeve." And God might have granted his Son and said, "You're on. This is for the win, Son." And across the ages, God said, "Let there be the Rocky Mountains." And Jesus said, "Wow, Dad, you are the best. I love what you create. But Dad, I think that there's something else you can create that's better than all of this." And the dad took the son by the hands, and he said, "Son, are you sure? Are you sure you want me to do this? Because it's going to cost you something." And the son said, "Yeah, Dad, I want you to do it. I want you to create the masterpiece, the crowning achievement of creation." And God said, "Okay, I'm going to do it." And God created you. You are the crowning achievement of everything that God has ever made. And it cost Jesus his life to win you back. So this verse in Ephesians said that you were created for good works. That you weren't created to hang out watching soap operas. I mean, Ben and Jerry's. Have you eat Ben and Jerry's in Texas? Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God created you for good works. God thought about your life. And he said, I got a list for them to do. You know, when my kids were growing up, five kids, you better believe that Saturdays they all got a chore list from Mama. You know? And sisters, you got a chore list from Daddy, okay? There are things he wants you to do. There are people to pray for, and continents to visit, and missionaries to send, and books to write, and people to encourage, and children to love. It's on your chore list. There are inventions to be invented, and cures to be discovered, and songs to be written and sung. There are meals to be cooked, and notes to be written, and hugs to be given, and smiles to be shared, and laughter to resound. There are high school friends to reconnect with, and elderly people to invite over for dinner, and walks to be taken, and artwork to be created, and diapers to be changed, and sweaters to be knitted. It's on your chore list. There are holidays to be celebrated, and cookies to be baked, and meetings to attend, and difficult people to love. Now that is on your chore list. I'm telling you it is. And as you walk in his plans, your purposes will be fulfilled. Your purpose for living and breathing and groping for him while you're on planet Earth. And for letting your life be a demonstration of who Jesus Christ is. So don't waste one more day in the past, but hear the voice of God today. Quit making excuses and allow God to use you at your moment in history. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. Father, thank you for your word and how it all connects. Father, thank you that you've given us a plan this morning, a strategy. And now listen, I want you to open your eyes and put them on your notes, and I want you to begin to write. Because the Holy Spirit is brooding over us, just like he did over creation. You know, before God created anything, the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the deep. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is hovering right now over our lives. And that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you what's on your chore list, what you've got to do for your dad, so that his purposes, his boule will be accomplished in your life before you go to heaven. So as we close, just take a minute or two. And, you know, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to be speaking to you all day, so don't panic. Don't think you got to write 10 things down right now. But I believe the Holy Spirit's going to be speaking to you all afternoon. Amen?
Amen.
Whose turn is it?
Me.